Books of the Bible. John, the beloved disciple, author of the Gospel of John and Revelation, also wrote three epistles. In this first epistle of John, the apostle has one main concern, that we may know if we have eternal life and if our faith is genuine faith. If you want to know that you have eternal life, turn to 1 John and see what he has written for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Forget global warming. Our temperatures are going up. This is Wretched Radio. We are being told by green people that the oceans are going to start bubbling. Well, let's forget the planet for a moment and let's talk about God's highest order of creation that inhabit the planet and talk about our temperatures, because I don't know about you, but these days it's a lot easier to get agitated about stuff that heretofore probably wouldn't get up your nose, but now it does. Neil Shenby, writing about this subject of discussing race and that the language change in our society about the meaning of words and the agendas that are so often baked into those words has caused all of us to develop such a sensitivity about anybody saying something in a way that perhaps possibly might be loaded with some sort of negative meaning, that we just get agitated a lot. Have you noticed that? Has your radar gotten set higher? Now, even as I say this, my radar is so high on this stuff. Even as I say it, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if I'm sounding like a compromiser here. I think that's exactly the point, that we are able to engage on these subjects and respond to one another inside the church. Let the world do what the world is going to do inside of the church in such a way that I don't just automatically raise a Spock eyebrow. What? I think that sounded like a quote from Your Best Life Now. What are you doing in this church? Do you feel that way sometimes? Jimmy, am I the only one that has a sensitivity toward that? I think no. Neil Shenby is onto something.
Yeah, I think he is too.
And I do believe that the solution to this problem is that you and I stop talking and let the Bible do the speaking. And I'm thinking about Daryl Harrison. I don't know if you recall Daryl, who is no longer a grace to you. I just learned that recently. Decides to go from a parachurch ministry to church ministry. Oh, wait a second. That is the better move. and we should applaud anybody who decides, you know what, I'm going to put all of my energy into a local church. That's just sweet. Because remember, I know perhaps sometimes the opposite impression is given, but the local church is more important than any parachurch ministry. And I mean anyone. I don't care which one you are most fond of. And we're one. We've got great relations with others. Tomorrow Clubs and the Masters Academy Internet. We're all parachurch. Now, hopefully, we are doing our ministry efforts in support of the local church, which all of these ministries that we're associated with absolutely do. But even so, they're not as important as the authentic entity of the local church. That's God's only, it doesn't mean we can't be doing parachurch. Obviously, I think that. But the local church is God's only authorized place of spiritual growth. Yep, you can get it elsewhere. That's the place. That's fertilizer center. You want to grow? Get yourself into a local church. Start serving there. I got to tell you, Jimmy, I am so excited about this. I think that this might become one of our things. Churches sometimes will become so obsessed with something, it kind of becomes their thing. And that can sometimes be bad, but sometimes it can actually be helpful so that everybody like hears the message of it. And this is kind of the way we function around here. And I do believe this emphasis is really biblical. I'm thinking of Titus chapter 2. What do we see? Older, younger, that the Bible doesn't have any problem with identifying people of different ages and recognizing that there's different levels of maturity. So here's what you got with the gray hairs. boatloads of experience, maturity, and wisdom. Here's what you got with the young folks. Empty boats. Now, what do we do about this? Do we put all the empty boats together and let them just bump up against each other going, so how do you think, what are you doing? How does this work? Where are you going to school? What is it like to be married in your own? And instead, we put them together and we let the gray hairs take all of that wisdom and download it so that the younger people can gain from the wisdom that was so hard earned by the people who probably lived through it. And we're going to be stressing that a lot in our church so that the gray hairs and the not gray hairs are put together in order to be discipled. And here's the tricky part. I don't think we're going to have any problem with the gray hairs. They're going to be like, wait, what? You actually want me to be involved? You want me to share my... But wait a second. The kids these days, they don't want to hear it. And that, I think, is going to be the challenge. Persuading younger people, start participating in this, whether it's a Bible study, whether it is an in-home sort of study, a young marriage group, whatever. Let the gray hairs teach you. You'll actually learn. You'll save yourself some pain. You say, well, you're just saying that because you've got gray hair. Well, not much. My beard, I grant you, that's a different story. But the Bible, Proverbs, talks about the wisdom and letting wisdom that has been gained be downloaded to those who just don't have it because they haven't lived as long. If you're 25, you're 25 years old, and you are told, hey, why don't you talk to that 50-year-old? You're probably inclined to go, rather not. I'm doing okay. That 50-year-old has lived as many adult years as you've been alive. They've got to know more, and it's okay. This isn't about better, but we shouldn't blanch it. They're just wiser. Be wise. That's what the Proverbs scream. Be wise. Download it. Son, listen to me. I know stuff. And if we can get and encourage young people to adopt that mindset in our church, I don't think we're going to have any issue recruiting the gray hairs to be willing to download the wisdom and let them speak into their lives. It is in the context of the local church where so much growth happens. And currently in the context of the local church, we're just struggling to communicate. It is not just the world. It is inside of the church. And as Daryl Harrison said to me when I interviewed him for Breaking Bread, do you remember that? We do that series where I'll do meals with really good theologians. And Daryl and I met in Douglasville, Georgia, which didn't make the top 20 cities to live in. Alpharetta was number 9. Douglasville. Real cool little downtown area, train tracks, all of that. We had lunch and we were talking about the critical race theory. And I was asking him the question about how do we do this? How do we actually talk to somebody who is woke? How do you talk to somebody who thinks CRT is maybe good? How do you talk to somebody from the Church of England who is now saying, yes, we're going to give $100 million in reparations because of the slave trade that we were once sort of involved in secondhand centuries ago, which, by the way, was actually rejected. The study group for the Anglican Church said, no, you don't need to invest $100 million to deal with reparations. $1 billion is what's required. How do you talk to somebody like that? And Daryl said something that made me sit back and go, that's gold. And he was ahead of the curve, I think, for all of us. And he said, just don't do it. You can't have these conversations because words, they're packed with all kinds of dynamite. And what sounds good today could be horrible tomorrow. And that's what Neil Shenvey brought out. And that languages changed our attitudes. He said, we can't, there's no quarter for anyone on anything. Because you and I, are we not used to seeing people slip, slide away? It's like, oh, there it is. Okay. They think this about Sierra. The next thing you know, they're going to be fully woke. And a lot of times that actually happens. So we hear anybody say anything that maybe isn't perfect jot and tittle for us on CRT or anything else for that matter. And we go, oh, there you go. That's compromise. You're on your way to liberal land. I feel that. I think we all do. Politics, when we talk about universities and education, when we talk about theological issues, I feel that. And I think Daryl and Neil Shenby also mentioned this in his article, are on the right track. Take it outside of yourself. Just remove it from yourself. You can't keep up with progressive dictionary words that are, I didn't mean, you just can't keep up. Go to the Bible. Open it up. I'm not kidding. Open it up. If you want to have a conversation with somebody about these subjects, hey, we can sit here and chat, but I'll tell you what, why don't we hear from God? And let's see what he has to say on this subject. And you open it up and you let him play referee. He is the judge. He is the one who dictates terms. And if we're both agreed to submit to that, well, then one of us will be changing by the time we're done, because God says so. And a failure to submit to his desires, well, that would be sin. Let the Bible do the talking. If you don't, I fear that we are going to have some unnecessary fracturing. There's going to be more fracturing going on in the church, but some unnecessary fracturing. So let's discipline ourselves, all of us. Let us let God speak so that we don't have to. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the reality of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. You can trust in God. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 tells us that God is immutable. He does not change. He is faithful to fulfill his promises, just as much today as when the Bible was written. you can rest assured that his word is still true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you're going to have to play judge because I'm going to make a confession that what I'm about to share bothered me before. And so this ain't nothing new for me, but maybe it is for you, and it is a demonstration that you and I these days are responding to, well, virtually anything in a state of hyper alert as Western civilization crumbles, and that is exactly what we are witnessing. We should anticipate more and more that you and I are going to feel what's happening in our world and inside of the church. And we might find ourselves not being righteously indignant, but just downright annoyed all the time. There was an article written in the Christian Post. It was an opinion piece by Jerry Newcomb. The headline caught my attention: Do Manners Matter Anymore? And he's identified yet another area of deconstruction in Western civilization. Everything is being torn down. Everything that is good, everything that is wholesome, everything that is natural, gotta go. This is Marxism. This is social Marxism. This is CRT. This is postmodernism. This is deconstructionism. And it's happening everywhere with everything, because anything that we currently see in society as a norm, it came from white people. So therefore, it's automatically racist, and it has to go. And that includes manners. And this fellow in this article in the Christian Post points out, we've just lost manners, and he's expressing why he's concerned. And it's a good commentary. It's a good commentary on the importance of manners. He writes, if you remove manners from society, we are left with a crasser and cruder world. It's true. Outward good manners are generally a reflection of inside decency and kindness and reflect the Christian concept of putting others ahead of self. By the way, nice job, Jerry, of invoking the Bible. This is why manners matter. Because when you're eating with your mouth open with food falling onto your lap, you're not loving your neighbor. So who's the authority in this? It's not just me because I'm persnickety about manners, or I've got misophonia and it drives me crazy when you chew like that. The Bible. This is about loving your neighbor. This is why we should be teaching our kids that manners are important. It's being thoughtful. It's loving our neighbor as ourself. He continues, love is not rude. 1 Corinthians 13. Bad manners is being rude. It also applies to the golden rule of Christ, treating others as you would want to be treated. Rudeness and boorish behavior send a signal that anything goes. Yep. Bad manners can signal a breakdown in civilized behavior. Yep. All the while, the test of good manners is to put up with bad ones. So you've got bad manners if you expect manners, but if you accept anything, well, then you've got good manners. Okay. All right. And I find myself, perhaps more than ever, this is my confession. So, Jimmy, you need to be the arbiter in this to tell me if I'm making too much out of this issue.
Right.
Because it always bugged me before when I would see somebody with bad manners. Now it really bugs me. Why? Because I just know what it represents. You know what else bugs me? Going to the airport in Atlanta, that bugs me anyway. But increasingly, why are people wearing their pajamas and bunny slippers to go on an airplane? Why does that, like, if I would have seen that 20 years ago, it would have been like, hey, look, everybody, they're wearing bunny slippers through the airport. That's bizarre. But now I'm like, why? Because it represents something. It represents a lack of love of neighbor. It lacks decorum. And it's a deconstruction of societal norms. And we are seeing this all the time. It used to be expected that you would dress up to get on an airplane. That was the cultural norm. That's got to go, say the deconstructionists. So what do we see? people wearing their jammies with bunny rabbit slippers on. It represents you are opposed to what kind of keeps us a culture here, that there are some expectations that we have, and it is such a great loss to them because they're losing out on norms that are good, that make life feel less independent. I know that's the drive. I've got to be autonomous. I've got to be independent. That's a great loss. Being a part of something bigger than self, oh, that's a gain. And I don't just mean that in the church. I do think that there can be some of that that is a glue that keeps us together when we have some cultural norms, whether it's in our local territory or it's in the nation, that we go to the Olympics and it's like, I want America to win. And that we're all cheering for the same team because I'm a part of this thing. And all of that is being deconstructed. All of it. I'm surprised the Olympics can continue. What is this nation against nation? What is it? Gold, silver, bronze. Everybody gets a gold medal. We'll see how long the Olympics last. We're seeing a deconstruction. And so when it comes to the issue of manners, I see it and I'm like, ugh. And it perhaps bothers me on a different level than it used to. Before it bothered me because it just bothered me. Now I see what it represents. Jimmy, am I making too much of the manners thing here?
I don't think so.
It's all getting torn down. Here's another one that I think is a great loss. I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, or at least in passing, that the trend of young ladies wanting their dad to walk them down the aisle of their wedding, gone. Oh, what is that? It's a loss of a social norm. Now, I realize how progressives would paint that as being patriarchal, but come on, isn't a daughter the apple of dad's eye? Has dad not earned the right to say, this is the one that I've been caring for now for decades. I am passing this one off to you, trusting you. Oh, that's too sexist. Women don't need men. Okay, you can make that argument all you want, but my point is, it's a great loss because we all used to do that. And we all went, okay, it's good to be a part of this. It's good to be a part of this. We're seeing it in Ireland. I don't know if you're tracking the story in Ireland. They want to change their constitution. They want to remove the section that talks about women not having to feel pressure to go into the workplace, that they can be moms at home. That's going to most likely, I'd be surprised if it isn't, removed. Because women shouldn't feel like they have to be home with their children. What is that? It's just deconstructing. And by the way, congratulations. Ladies, congratulations. You no longer have to have the oppressive title of mother. Mother. Now, you get the moniker of worker. Congratulations. Instead of contributing to family and society via that structural unit, you're helping us improve our gross domestic product. Justice. Liberation. And deconstruction. It's deconstructing everything. The casting off of cultural norms. Every man is an island. And if I'm not careful, I'm going to let civilization's crumbling make me a really agitated man, really annoyed. And you know what the problem is with that, besides the sin? I'm not going to be very easy to get along with in church. Because if I've got that, I'm guarding my words because I do understand the temperature of the culture right now. If I'm trying to be biblical and I sense somebody that's not, and I have this mindset that everybody that does not align in every regard to my way of thinking is a danger, uh-oh, what kind of a church is that going to be? So Bible study last night, Philippians 4, a true yoke fellow. There were two, Iodia and Syntyche were not getting along. They were friends, but they were sisters in the Lord. They weren't getting along. And so Paul says, so I want you, true yoke fellow, but it's very possible. It's the name. It's like Suzuki or something that means true yoke fellow, but it's also a proper name. So he could have been identifying a person. All right. let's just say, Jimmy, do you think that the True Yoke Fellow was actually his name or just a descriptor of the person that he wanted to moderate the dispute between those two women?
And descriptor?
Really?
You don't?
Come on. It's his name. Who calls somebody a True Yoke Fellow? Why not give the guy credit where credit is due? Okay. And I don't want to be that, but here's the trick. Not compromising on biblical fidelity. That's the trick. And it is my opinion that the only way that you and I are going to be able to find that balance is if we do it together in the context of the local church. Maybe rejecting less media communication and debate. Working these things out in the context of the local church as you and I both strive to be like the one who found the perfect balance, Jesus Christ himself. And until tomorrow, chew with your mouth closed and go serve your king.